Our scripture reading this morning is found in Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, found on page 283 of your pew Bibles. And I'll begin reading at verse 1. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread, and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. And when she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also, pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Let's look again to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we ask that you would guide us by your Spirit as we examine this portion of your word. That, Lord, not only will we grow in our knowledge of you, but, Lord, that we may be equipped by you to go forth with greater understanding of who you are and what it is you expect of us, your servants. Guide and direct us by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Well, over the last several weeks, we've had the opportunity to begin a study through the book of Ruth. And after kind of a grim first week, as we looked at chapter 1 and we dealt with all of the hardships that had befallen the household of Elimelech, in fact, had befallen Israel as God's hand was turned against them and a famine came upon the land. We saw that Elimelech, the one whose name means "my God is my king," sought greener pastures outside of the promised land of God. He fled with his family to Moab that hadn't been impacted by the famine. And there they thought they could perhaps get by for a period of time. It was originally to have been a sojourn, a short time in that foreign land, but as life so often does, time gets away. And they end up spending more than a decade away in that foreign land amongst the people of Moab, amongst those who didn't know the God of Israel. And rather than there find joy and find great surplus, we see that they go from hardship to hardship, with the household of Elimelech being really decimated. The loss of first Elimelech and then his two sons, those whom Naomi would have thought to have been her providers in her old age, Mahlon and Chilion. And it is finally at that point that word comes back to Naomi that God's favor has once again been shown to Israel, that once again he has been pleased to bless them with harvests, to lift the famine. And Ruth now began her trek back home to Israel. She felt she had a heavy burden upon her back. She had felt the disciplining hand of God upon her. She had suffered great loss. And now she was forced to return home, as she would later describe herself, as one that had been full, whose life had been very much like her name, Naomi, pleasant. And now it was a life that was empty. She returns to Bethlehem accompanied by her very determined daughter-in-law, Ruth. Though Naomi had sought to dissuade her daughter-in-laws from coming back, feeling it would have been in their best interest to remain with their families in Moab, where their opportunity to be remarried might have been greater, where they wouldn't have been and become foreigners in a land they didn't know and in a people they weren't familiar with. And we see that Orpah heeded that counsel of Naomi returning to her family, and we hear of her no more. But Ruth was determined to stay with her mother-in-law. We don't know what Ruth may have been pleased to have been enabled by God to see within that family of Elimelech, but certainly there was something that was stirred within her to desire to leave her own people and to go to a foreign land to accompany her mother-in-law, perhaps with the hopes that she too may experience the God of Israel. To know this one who had so faithfully led his people out of Egypt and established them, pursuing all of their enemies out before them and giving unto them a land that was blessed with so much yielding milk and honey. And they return, and we get a glimpse into the mindset of Naomi as she is questioned by her friends and family when she returns to Bethlehem, who look at her and wonder, is this the same woman that left here some decade and a half ago? And she says, no, I am no longer Naomi, I am Mara. To her, her life now has become bitter. And as she reflects upon the situation that she initially had left in Israel, she says, I had been full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. And we see at the very end of chapter 1 that God gives us a glimpse of hope in that he says they return to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Again, this reiterates the fact that God's pleasure was now being demonstrated to Israel once again, that a harvest was on the horizon. It was about that season. But it also was a foreshadowing of how God was going to demonstrate his provision for his people, and especially the household of Elimelech in the coming chapters of Ruth. As we began last week looking at the first half of chapter 2, we saw that Naomi is almost despondent. She is so overwhelmed with her grief and with this sense of being under the thumb of God, having been punished by him, that she doesn't see the opportunities that are around her to improve their situation. She isn't the one that has the idea to go out into the fields and glean. Perhaps at her age, she wasn't in a place that would have been an easy task at all. It was not easy for anyone. But she had just made that long trek back from Moab. No, I think we can safely say that she was downcast. She was depressed. And it's Ruth who looks around and sees something great around her. She sees the evidences of God's blessing upon the people of Israel in the fields that are overflowing with grain. And she comes to her mother-in-law and she says, let me go out into the fields and glean. Perhaps God will be pleased to lead me to a field where I might find the favor of an owner who would let me glean, that we might eat. And we saw that in the text we read that she chanced upon, or by chance she chanced upon, a field that was owned by Boaz. And we spoke at great length at how that really wasn't a chance. We understand that not to be what happens here, but this wasn't something she had been instructed to do by her mother-in-law. She hadn't been introduced to who Boaz was at this point, though you and I, through the writing of the writer of Ruth, had been given some acquaintance of Boaz in verse 1 of chapter 2. That was to foreshadow what else the Lord was about to put into motion in remedying their situation. No, it was God's hand that had led her to that particular field where she began to glean, an activity that was new to her, something that she wasn't accustomed to. And it was also God's hand that at that time also brought onto the scene Boaz himself. The owner didn't always come out to the field and be present when the harvest was going on. He had men like this foreman that were entrusted with overseeing the reapers and making sure that the harvest ran smoothly. But on this day, Boaz comes out to the field, and we see that from the time he arrives, his eyes are drawn to one who is at work in his fields that he does not recognize. We said it partly could have been due to the fact that she wasn't very efficient as one who would gather grain. This being a new type of labor for her. But we were shown God's wonderful provision for her as this owner takes an interest in Ruth. He approaches her and gives instruction that she is to go ahead and to glean amongst the other women of his workers, those who would have been bundling the grain and taking it to the threshing floor. She would be able to enjoy that position of great abundance, the place that would have the most grain. She wouldn't be relegated to the back of the field behind all of the others who were there, taking advantage of God's wonderful provision for the poor, the widows, and the orphans in the leaving of grains behind. And if the story ended there, we have a wonderful story of God's wonderful care and provision for his people. And in fact, Ruth is overjoyed at the reception that she received because she didn't anticipate being warmly received. She anticipated that her time in Israel could be one of always feeling the part of the alien, the foreigner, the one who was of the people, an enemy of the people of God, a Moabite. But instead, we see that God is pleased through the use of Boaz to impress upon her that she is now within the people of Israel. She has now found her shelter, her refuge under the wings of God, the God of Israel. And again, Ruth can go about her work within the fields, overjoyed at the kindness that God has been pleased to show to her. She wonders why. Why would Boaz, this well-to-do, well-known and respected owner, take an interest in her? Her life to this point had been one filled with sadness, and certainly as she left Naomi's home that morning, she probably thought that there would be even more hardship that would befall her. And she asked Boaz, why? Why have you been so kind? And we see that Boaz has become acquainted with the situation of Naomi and her daughter-in-law. And that which had struck Boaz most was that this daughter-in-law, this young woman who could have so easily, like Orpah, her sister-in-law, gone back to her parents, and remained in her land and continued in the worship of her gods, chose instead to leave those things, to accompany her mother-in-law, and to become acquainted with Israel and the God of Israel. And he says, your kind acts, your care for your mother-in-law have become well known to me. So Ruth is welcomed not only into the field but into the nation of Israel by the kind words of Boaz. And she goes about her work, and it brings us then to that portion of the word that we're looking at this day, beginning in verse 13. Though great kindness has been provided to Ruth, we see in Ruth a determined laborer. Ruth returns to her gleaning following these conversations with Boaz. Ruth doesn't fall into the trap of idleness or rest wholly in the continued provision of this new benefactor. But instead, we see that the kindness of God shown to her has developed within her, or spurred on within her heart, a greater desire to labor. We understand that when God created us, he created us to labor, to tend the earth. And certainly we know that in the fall, our labors in the earth became much more complex and often much more frustrating. But it didn't cause that that purpose of ours to go away. Rather, we've always been created for this purpose to work. And we see that having experienced the kindness of God, the provision of God within this field, in this short time, in this foreign land, Ruth continues to labor. Having been commended for her care for her mother-in-law, she continues to be determined to care for Naomi and to meet their needs as she labors within that field. This outpouring of God's love also serves as a further confirmation of that resolve, that desire that had been within the heart of Ruth to leave behind her family and her people and her gods to pursue the God whose kindness and provision to his people had reached their ears in Moab. And as we travel on through this passage, we get to verses 14 and 15, and we see that even greater blessings are soon to fall upon Ruth. Ruth and Naomi not having much at all, it's unlikely that she went prepared to the field with any food for herself. Their need was so great. And yet at noon, we see that the habit of the workers was to stop their work and to have their lunch, and we see a meal is prepared and made available to all those who had been laboring in the field. And Boaz once again extends great kindness to Ruth by inviting Ruth to come and to stop and eat with them. And one who had been empty, one whose belly had not known much in a while, we read here, was satisfied. In fact, she had been given enough food that she couldn't finish it all. In fact, she kept some aside and packaged it up. And we'll see that it plays a part later in her continuing provision for Naomi. We see that she isn't even relegated to sit at the outskirts, but she's brought into and sits among the people of God who have been laboring in the field. All of these things impressing upon her that wonderful engrafting work of God to this foreign woman, bringing her into and among the people of God where she might be provided for, cared for, and satisfied. And again, after she finishes eating, rather than rest, rather than end her labors and believe that this good provision will always just occur, she returns to the field. And we read that she labored then the rest of the day within the fields. In the heat of the day, she continued. This one who was a novice at gleaning continued out in those fields, gathering grain, enjoying the favor of Boaz as he has made it possible for her to glean even there in the midst of the workers. But we see that Boaz, his provision for her is not only in that noon meal, but he even continues to give further instruction to his workers, this time instructing that she is to be allowed to work amongst the women there, that she is not to be scolded, she's not to be chased away, she's not to be rebuked. And in fact, to lighten her load anymore, to again reward her for the good service and the care and concern that she has demonstrated for her mother-in-law, Boaz instructs them even to take some of the stalks out from those gathered sheaves, that her gathering, that her work may be made easier and even more fruitful. This abundant provision of God yields for Ruth even greater determination. And we see that at the end of this day, not only does she gather all of this grain, but then she goes to that hard work of winnowing that grain, getting all of the kernels out of the barley that she may take it back with her. And we read within the passage that she was able to gather in that day of labor something like an ephah. And there's some disagreement as to how much that would have been, but somewhere between 30 and 50 pounds of grain would have been collected by Ruth at this time. Enough for many meals. That God demonstrated His abundance, His love, His provision for His people by allowing her, this novice reaper, to take with her enough for a long period of time. And we see that she returns home bearing this great burden. And once again we see Naomi on the scene. It's likely Naomi was a bit concerned that her daughter-in-law hadn't returned sooner. It's likely that she wondered whether or not any harm had come to her or how frustrated her day had been as she would have had to travel field to field until she found one that would have been willing enough and would have looked with favor upon her desire to glean grain within the field. She may have even wondered whether harm would have come to her, and we can see that because at the end of this passage, she raises that specter of physical harm and assault being something that can happen and could be problematic in fields outside of those safe fields of Boaz. No, we see here, Naomi sees Ruth coming, sees her weighted down by all of this abundant grain that has been given, and she begins to wonder, how in the world, where in the world were you laboring that you could have possibly gathered this much? Did you find a field that no one else had identified? Had you been gleaning in a field that hadn't been harvested? And Ruth opens up to her and shares with her that all of this had come from one field, the owner of which had been a man named Boaz. Boaz had allowed her to labor in this field. And all of a sudden we see in Naomi's mind some memories come back. She recalls this name. She remembers this one who was a distant relative of her husband Elimelech. And we see how God is beginning to awaken Naomi from her depression, from that sense of the Lord's hand being against her, to now seeing the wonderful guiding hand of God present and evident in their lives. Naomi recalls this is a relative. And Naomi realizes that her daughter-in-law hadn't ended up in the field of Boaz by chance, just as it hadn't been chance that had brought them back to Israel. But that the same hand of God that had had the strength to reach into Moab and to draw them back from a season outside of the promised land, disciplining them for having left, was also the same hand that lovingly protected her daughter-in-law, guiding her to the field of a kinsman, a redeemer of the family. And Naomi sees that the same God who had disciplined is a God whose discipline for His people does not continue without end, but that He cares for and provides for His children. We see that Naomi, instead of despair now, is now thinking in terms of the evidence of God's hand of blessing. And we see that blessing pours out of Naomi's mouth, where before she may have laid the blame at God for the hardships that she had endured. Now she calls upon God to pour out his blessing upon the one who has been pleased to show kindness to them, that God would bless this obedient and faithful servant, Boaz. You see, Boaz had epitomized one whose heart is inclined to glorify God in accord with his word, even so far as to demonstrate that kindness to a foreigner, that the name of God, the name of Yahweh, would be proclaimed and glorified. Also brought to Naomi's mind is the concept of God's provision for those whose line has been threatened by death, perhaps bringing to her mind that example of the levirate marriage in Deuteronomy 25, 5 and 6. Not that this is a particular case that is a perfect fit for that levirate marriage, but it does raise and put in the heart of Naomi the hope of some wonderful way that God will provide for and preserve the line of Elimelech. Now we know this isn't a perfect case in accord with Deuteronomy 25 because Boaz is not a brother of Mahlon. He wasn't one of the same household, direct household. And nor do we see in Deuteronomy 25 it dealing with this matter of a foreign wife. Yet the events of the day have reminded Naomi of the loving care of God as demonstrated by Boaz, a righteous and faithful kinsman. We also see in this portion another evidence of the motherly concern of Naomi for Ruth. After Ruth had relayed Boaz's instruction to remain close to his young men or those workers, Naomi modifies that instruction a bit, instead encouraging Ruth to remain close to the young women. And twice we'll see Naomi do that in these last two verses, which speaks again for an awakened care within and concern within Naomi of the dangers that can arise in the fields for a woman, especially for that of an alien or foreigner. Her instruction may also have betrayed the beginnings of an idea that perhaps this one who had shown such an abundant kindness and care, this Boaz, would perhaps play an important role in fulfilling Naomi's other concern for Ruth, that Ruth wouldn't remain in a life of singleness, but might once again enjoy being married and perhaps being the mother of children. And once again, we see Ruth's obedience on display by the time we get to verse 23. We see her obedience on display as Ruth again, even though God has given her this great bounty of food that would last for many, many days, in obedience does follow the invitation of Boaz to remain in his fields throughout the harvest, going back day after day. And we see that God is pleased to provide for Ruth and Naomi throughout the winter by those grains that could be received through this time of gleaning. Again, we find the writer of the book to have again intentionally ended this chapter, chapter 2, with a note of Ruth's living situation. And just as he did at the beginning of chapter 2 or at the end of chapter 1, these little foreshadowing notes are to again cause us to yearn to see these matters solved. We find in verse 23 that Ruth lives with her mother-in-law. We already knew that. But it addresses the fact that there is yet something else that God will accomplish. It begins to cause us to yearn to see how this new Redeemer will work and what impact it will have for this young woman and her mother-in-law. As we went through this, we have seen from various perspectives the way that people respond to God's abundant provision. For Ruth, we see the heart and mind of one who is new to a knowledge of the God of Israel, the people of Israel, and His kindness, His faithfulness, as she experiences it for herself and becomes acquainted with the shelter of God's wings. We kind of can envisage Ruth as that new convert that looks at all of life with new, fresh eyes and looks upon the kindness of God and that love, her first love of Christ, is so evident to all those who are around her. We see that epitomized in the way Ruth responds to kindnesses that weren't anticipated in places she expected to be hard places. We also see the more seasoned perspective of a Boaz, who himself is quite familiar with the provision of God, himself having been greatly blessed by God in his positions and in all that God has been pleased to give to him, who could recall that period of famine within Israel and that God had now sent abundance to them. And he sees this worker, this foreigner come into his field whose love for her mother-in-law is well known to him. And he sees an opportunity for the glory of God to be demonstrated, the love of God to be demonstrated to one outside of the people of Israel for the glory of God, not for his own glory. And then we have Naomi, who perhaps Naomi may best epitomize you and I as we go through seasons of difficulty in our life where there are times where our eyes don't see much beyond the current problem that is before us, the hardship that we may be facing, and things can look pretty dim. But we see Naomi once again reacquainted with that great deliverer. We see Naomi lifted up from the ground where she is crumpled under the weight of her affliction and where she is fed by the hand of God, cared for and tended to through his chosen use of his tool and Boaz and even his instrument of ministry to Naomi, Ruth. All three of these individuals perhaps see this particular time differently, uniquely, in accord with where they are in that work that God is doing in their lives. And you and I need to be reminded that we too need to pray that God would open our eyes and our ears, that we would be attentive to the work of his hand, that we, like Boaz, would see that this Moabite coming into Israel was truly an opportunity for this foreigner to experience the wonderful comfort and protection of the wings of God. That it was an opportunity that you and I have as we labor as the servants of Christ in our workplace, in our homes, in our communities, to, like Boaz, demonstrate that kindness, be a witness of that care and concern for those who are in need around us, that his name might be glorified and that those around us may become acquainted with the one who gives life where only death before had prevailed. You and I need to be reminded, just as the church in Ephesus was reminded, to remember its first love. As we read through this story of Ruth and Naomi, it reminds us of God's wonderful care for his people. And we need these reminders that we too wouldn't be blind to these things, but rather that we would be sensitive to the way that God has been and is at work in our lives today and forevermore. And may God be pleased to stir within us the same diligence and determination to labor that Ruth demonstrates here. That we would not grow comfortable where we are, but rather we would go forth in this week to come to do God's work, to proclaim His name, to witness the abundance of His handiwork, to testify to His goodness, His protection, and His provision for us to all those whom He is pleased to put across our paths. And may we, like Naomi, experience His comfort as He wipes away our tears and in their places puts within our hearts joy in our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's look to Him in prayer. Almighty God, we thank You. We thank You that You are not a God who is content to leave us where we are, but You are a God who, having begun a good work within, is pleased to see that work carried out to its completion. And Lord, we know that we continue to stumble, we continue to be led astray, we continue to have our eyes diverted. And for this, Lord, we repent and we seek Your guidance, Your hand working within us, that day by day the delight of our heart would be found in doing Your will, laboring in this place where You have placed us, for the glory of Your name, a testimony of our thankfulness for what You have done through Christ our Lord and Savior. For Lord, we all once were wanderers. We all once pursued our own desires and ends. Lord, certainly we can attest those things end in calamity when they are not in accord with Your word. But Lord, You have been pleased through Christ to gather us back from the world under Your wings, that we may be instructed from Your word, that Your Spirit may minister to us and give us understanding. And Lord, that we may recall this wonderful salvation that You have wrought through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we not grow contented in that knowledge, but rather, Lord, may it inspire us to go forth and with enthusiasm and joy and with great vigor, proclaim the glorious name of Christ to all those whom You put across our path, that You might delight to see men, women, and children added to Your church, that Your church would continue to grow and multiply, that communities and nations would be transformed, even those nations increasingly hostile to the things of God. We pray You would frustrate those efforts of men and instead demonstrate Your sovereignty. For Lord, Your reach extends into every nation. You control them all. And Lord, we pray that You will bring them to their knees in rightful worship of their right and true King, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in His name. Amen.